Tone It Down.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. Dr. King, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King's son spoke out a little bit on this. History will remember Senator Sinema unkindly. While she remains stubborn in her optimism, Black and brown Americans are losing their rights to vote, said Martin Luther King III, the son of the civil rights leader. She's siding with the legacy of Bull Connor and George Wallace instead of the legacy of my father and all those who fought to make real our democracy. Arizonians value leaders who can compromise and work across the aisle. But let me be clear, the filibuster is non-negotiable. Individuals like myself worked tooth and nail to get Sinema elected in 2018. We made calls, registered voters, and knocked on doors in 120-degree weather, said Signa Oliver, an activist with the Arizona chapter of the Indivisible, a grassroots group. Let's go to the phone lines, man. Who do we have on the line?
We got Tom from L.A.
Hey, Tom. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, Earl, first off, we the people are the government, and we must never forget that, including the...
Well, there's some people who forgot it.
Even including the excrement that just called your show a while ago. In fact, if you noticed, once you said, okay, you have time to talk now, he had nothing else to say because he already used all the talking points.
Right, he came back with the same stuff.
Oh, he came in hot. You're right. He used it all up right away.
Yeah, so then he had to come back at you and say, oh, you're overtalking me. It's like, give me a break, dude. If you can't get on a show and say more than a talking point, and that goes out to you, CJ and Dave and all you guys out there, if you can't give more than that, I don't know. Like I said, the number one problem that we have in our political system, the reason why we the people right now are not the government, is because of money and politics. We have to get money out of politics. That should be the only thing that everyone should be talking about. And they should not say, oh, I don't take campaign funding from blah, blah, blah. I don't care about that. If you take all the money in the world from someone, I don't care. Go ahead, take the money. But you know what? Then get out there and start turning your back on these people and getting the system fixed, where money and politics is not what is ruining our whole political system.
One point I want to make really quickly is, you know, we have some conservative contributors and we have discussions on this show. Lou from Cudahy was a different breed. He came in not looking to have a discussion, you know? He wasn't looking to contribute anything.
Absolutely. You know,
no, he was looking to say, you know what, we own libs, snowflakes.
Yep.
I thank you guys for defending,
but I think I'm more than capable of defending myself with people like that.
Oh, I wasn't defending you, Earl.
I'm only defending you at all, Earl.
I wasn't defending you at all. I'm just saying how stupid they are that they can't get more than a sentence out that's a talking point.
Listen to this. Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader in the Senate, praised Sinema's speech as an act of political courage that could save the Senate as an institution. So why doesn't he ask some of his party members to not vote in blocks?
Why are they not courageous? Because they vote in blocks,
you know, in one voice, but somehow Kristen Sinema has fallen under the sword. She's done something that he can praise.
You know, Earl, I think that right now, since we have about 8 months till, well, we got less than that with the primaries, but 8 months till the elections, you know what? Let Sinema, let Manchin go to the Republican Party. Let the Republican Party take over the House and the Senate, or the Senate. And you know what? Then maybe we'll get a little foreshadowing of what it will be like if they do actually win the Senate, and if we don't take over those seats.
We don't need that to happen. We've already, in the last 40 years, when they've had opportunities at leadership, we already know.
I agree.
We've seen this picture. before, and it's why I'm so animated.
Yep.
Because you already know what they're going to do.
You start to wonder if the rich corporate dumbs are right along with them, and they're just, oh boy, we're so upset. They haven't seemed upset at all.
Precisely.
Have you seen any Democratic people in leadership being really upset about the fact that we have these turncoat Democrats?
Well, but what I don't get is all Democrats right now.
Right?
If you're a Democrat and you aren't, man, just totally disgusted, maybe not with the Democratic Party, but with Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin.
And ruining your whole career, Democrats, and ruining your whole careers. That woman will, because the party will never come back together. The party will be gone. The elections that are coming up, because there will not be any type of voting, going on. Because
they've taken away
already, even with gerrymandering.
All that away. They've done everything they've wanted to do. And I'm sorry, but we have to have a Democrat that's like an FDR that's yelling out and speaking out and saying, you know what, I welcome their hatred, and start getting on the bully pulpit
every day. Tom, either she's too ignorant, her and Joe Manchin, or they're sly like a fox.
I hope that Joe from Stevens Point / Arizona gives us a call today, because I haven't heard from him in a while, and I haven't heard from myself in a while, of course. But Joe, because I know that he had to go out there and campaign for her, so I'm sure he's not a real happy person today.
Yeah, and he was a fan. He was a staunch supporter of Sinema. Yeah.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Evan, who we have up next?
Up next, we've got Jack from Paladonia.
Hey, Jack, how you doing, man? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Hey, life is good. Hey, you know, two things. One, you're talking about election campaign, you know, finance and everything. And one thing I'd like to see is if you don't vote in a district, you can't donate to the campaign.
Ooh.
That would be
I
mean, good luck with that, you know.
No, it's an idea.
The other thing is, you know, the other thing as far as with lobbyists, I'm sorry, you don't live in my district. What are you talking to my congressman for? I'll talk to him, but what are you talking to my congressman for? He's representing me. Go talk to your own congressman, okay?
I'm happy to hear that.
The other thing is the voter suppression thing, okay? I don't know. People can't vote.
Repeat that, Jack.
Yeah, just start that sentence over.
Okay, as far as voter suppression is concerned, what people are not able to vote? Who was not able to vote in the last election? Okay, I voted in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, I know a guy, he actually voted twice. He voted in Wisconsin, and then he got a call from the people doing the investigation down in Arizona and asked me if he voted for Joe Biden in Arizona. He says, no, I haven't lived there for 8 years. But they said they have a ballot with his name on it. Okay.
Hmm.
He said, well, I didn't vote. And his dad, who died 3 years ago, also voted in Arizona. Okay. And so you wonder, how far back did people go to get people's names to vote? Okay. You know, as far as the election is concerned, when you add up the number of ballots that were cast for the presidential election in 2016 and compare them with the number of ballots that were cast in 2020, you come up with a 29 million differential, okay? But when you add up all the new voters that could have voted, you come up with 22 million in those four-year period. So where did 7 million extra ballots come from, or voters come from? Do we have 7 million people that don't vote every year?
Oh, we have far more than that. I personally believe that people have been more animated. You know, the discourse has gotten a little more toxic. People are more emotionally involved. And they're wanting to vote far more. When we speak of vote suppression, what comes to my mind is gerrymandering. You know, you have districts where every African American in the entire district could vote the same vote, and it wouldn't, you know, and it wouldn't win an election because the maps are drawn in such a way as to disenfranchise them.
Well, look, man, you're right on point with that, Evan. But all of this and what it actually says is, and we know why all of this has come into play and why it's on the front burner with Republicans, is because Donald Trump was able to lie enough, and he had enough liars with him, mm-hmm. that he lost. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you know, when you talk about that, if you want to make Republicans look stupid, okay, and really put a thing on...
You don't have to do that. All you have to do is let them open their mouths.
Have all the city clerks that have been subpoenaed and not have answered the subpoena, have them go to the courts. Have them answer. You know, have them bring this to a court.
So let me say this.
The Republicans look stupid. Make them look stupid in a court of law instead of in the court of public opinion.
So let me say this to you: they already, not only do they look stupid, they are, and the fact that this thing, can you imagine if the Republicans won, and the Democrats were pushing the narrative that the Republicans are pushing right now? It would be, the Republicans would be dead set against everything.
Oh, hellfire and brimstone right now. It'd be insane.
If the shoe was on the other foot, and that's how you tell whether something is truthful or not. There's no way possible that had Donald Trump won, we'd be going through any of this. So since he lost, and everybody knows he lost, including many in his own party, why are we going through this charade? Why is this being pushed? You know, Mitch McConnell talked about the courage it took from Kristen Sinema. There are some Republicans who've shown some courage, but nowhere near enough to really speak out honestly about what this really and truly is about.
Yeah.
And the fact that in this country now, they've gotten away with this. They've gotten away with it.
And in that line, we've really hurt ourselves. As Democrats, we have a lot of restraint with our rhetoric. We try not to play into the emotional side. We try not set ourselves up to be partisan.
Those are the weak Democrats, man.
Yep, yep. By definition, that's held us back. You know, now we're fighting against that. We're having to come to try and do the right thing, to do the good work, and it's just falling flat.
Yeah, well, there's not going to be any right thing done. To me, more than anything else, the damage that Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin have done far exceeds what the Republicans have done. Because we already know what they're doing. We know what they're about. The fact that Kristen Sinema can just say that and not act as though there's, you know, going to be any fallout. And I don't mean anything physical. Let me get that out of the way first.
Yeah.
But she should be made to not even want to show her face.
Yeah. I mean, if you listen to that statement.
I don't even think she can calculate the long-term damage. She's talking about the democracy.
Yeah.
But I don't think she even understands the real damage that she has done to this democracy. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. You're tuning into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.